Hello, everyone. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is episode 59, I believe. Wait. I'm terrible at checking.
No, it's 59.
These. Yes, 59.
Very nice.
Of the Skulls cast. We're in Medibot and myself. Answer listener questions, a couple of them in first. Well, that's the first. What we're going to do is
then some
is
other things will happen
in a segment that we call Skulls Asked. So we'll get that out of the way first. I have intentionally left the topic of tonight's cast a little ambiguous to frighten Medibot.
Yes, I'm terrified. I am 2/3 of my way in my transformation into a shimmering orb of pure fear.
And before you get all the way there, let me ask you this question, which comes from listener Triple Basted. Who asks, what are your thoughts on Persona, and I guess Shin Megami Tensei as a whole? Do you have any thoughts on Shin Megami Tensei?
Here are my thoughts. I've never played a Persona game. I hear they're long, and something about being really offensive to gay people and transgendered people, and something about fusing monsters together, and there's like a tower, and it's really hard apparently, and all the bosses will kill you in one hit. And then there's a fighting game that's too complicated for me to play. Some people like the soundtrack.
You've had a really jaundiced and tragic mishmash of experiences with this game and these series of games, haven't you? I think you should play one, at least. Play Persona 4.
It's really good. Okay.
Whatever. You don't play it all at once. You and Pokecatten are the worst. It's like, I want to play this game all right now. Immediately.
Pretty sure the only game that I can actually pace myself is Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, and that's because the game has built into it a time-limiting mechanism that prevents you from playing too long in one sitting.
Well, I'm sure we'll get back to that soon enough, but as far as Persona games and Shin Megami Tensei games go, it's kind of unfair to evaluate them all together. They've evolved so much over time, and they're really well figured out and well polished by now, that to take something like Devil Survivor and compare it to the original Shin Megami Tensei is just unfair. And I think that you can certainly see where their ideas have gone and the kinds of things that they tried, and they're like, wait, that idea is stupid, let's try something else. And they keep coming back to the same stuff again and again, and that's because it works, and they see that it works, and so they've gotten a lot of time to refine what they are doing. So, the newest Shin Megami Tensei and the newest Persona games are going to be the best. That's why I say go play Persona 4, in particular for you, Medibot, because it's pretty good.
Okay. Do I want to play Persona 4 or Persona 4 Golden?
I don't know what Persona 4 Golden is, but it's probably newer, so you want to play that? I don't know. I mean, I can vouch for P4 itself as a game, and it's kind of fun, you know? And there's voice acting, but it's not atrocious. There's lots of dialogue, but it never feels like too much. There's stuff to figure out. There's this murder mystery kind of thing to it.
Yeah, yeah, and the TV and Shadow Time.
Yeah, and you actually, it feels like you're making progress towards goals, and you have setbacks,
okay.
And it has good pacing that way.
You've convinced me. I'll LP it.
Okay, do it. That'll be awesome, and I'll be right there with you. Any excuse to hear all of those all those wonderful people again. But being with them for so long, playing the game and going through this whole thing, you really get to know the characters, and it starts to feel familiar, like home. It's the same reason that I read Nero Wolfe stories again and again. it's not because the stories themselves have this like great plot to them or anything. Most of the plots are a lot the same, you know. There's someone gets murdered, Nerowulf finds them out and exposes them in one of three ways, and then boom, that's it. But what happens along the way is you get a lot more exposure to that house that they have in New York, and it feels like you're a part of that house, and it's like hanging out with friends. That's what it feels like, and that's what's great about Nerowulf, and that's what's great about Persona 4. For a shorter version of the same thing, Medibot, I can lend you Devil Survivor, a DS game. It's a tactics RPG.
Okay.
So you have squads.
Squads.
Yeah, it's all squad based. You have like your one like human and like pets,
monsters and devils.
Human and two devil pets go in as a team, and you like move around the grid and do attacks, and you also have things to figure out and relevant dialogue and like that. And your choices affect the ending.
Oh no.
Yeah, and there are something like 7 total paths.
I hate it when my choices have meaning.
That you. But anyway, you're. there are 7 total paths, and you can. I mean, I ended up like figuring out 2 of them, and then I just looked up the others because I'm like, you know what? I don't know. It's hard to tell between like the meaningful choice and a not meaningful choice. Mm. In the game, because there are a lot of they're all disguised, and I think that's clever, but I just wanted to see the other endings, you know, after a certain point, and so I just looked it up. So it's not a perfect game, but it's a pretty good one, and it's short, especially for a Persona game. So you can like sit down with Devil Survivor and like play through it, and it's like, yeah, and then you get to the end, and it's like, oh yeah, that's the end. Mm. Yeah, I beat it. Yeah.
Thug
but
life.
It is, I will warn you, it is hard.
Oh, no.
You have to make good choices, and you have to understand the mechanics. It does a really good job of presenting them to you, like a little bit at a time. And I never felt like I was just out in the cold, like I had nothing that I could do differently. But there were plenty of times where I felt challenged almost to, like, the point of how the hell am I going to do this, and I didn't even realize just how close I came to winning or losing. And it's a really thrilling feeling that way.
Thrills.
There might be an easy mode. I'm pretty sure I played on like normal
mode. I'll play normal mode.
But yeah, so you could play that one, and it's short enough. As far as the, like, I don't even know what that second point you mentioned comes from. If it comes up at all, then I don't know which game, and it's probably a valid criticism for whichever game it happened in, but I just never saw any of that.
Okay. I think it was 4.
Really?
Yeah.
But there aren't any trans people. I mean, there's Teddy, but he's not a person.
No, it's not. It's not about Teddy. It's with Kanji and Naoto.
Kanji's just a dude.
Right, but it's like he's a gay dude, and they try and apparently the game presents being gay as evil.
I don't think anyone who came to that opinion has played the game and has met
something,
this character.
I don't know. This is just what I read all the time, because all I ever read on the internet are articles about how popular games are tools of oppression.
Okay. You should really play and read and evaluate that. And the other character, Naoto, I'm pretty sure is the girl who poses as a boy. And that's for credibility. And that's a story old as time, really. Not anything.
People are offended by it.
Particular that. Now the thing is, the offensive stuff in P4 has nothing to do with any of that. The offensive stuff is the perverted fan service-y junk that comes up every now and again. Mm. Like the Hot Springs
episode.
Because it's an anime. But, you know, for me, I just like, oh, well, it's an anime. I just brush it aside and forget about it. Because at that point, I recognize that they're all cartoon characters, and I stop thinking of them in the same, like, serious tone. And it comes at a time when it's okay for them to take a more lighthearted tack on things, because there's a lot of really heavy stuff going on. And in addition to, like, weird magical mysteries, there's also, like, legitimate mental illness and psychopathy and murders. And that's... Okay. So we need something to relieve us of that tension, especially in such a long game.
So those are our thoughts on Persona.
Those are our thoughts on Persona and Shin Megami Tensei as a whole. I think they're pretty good. Medibot barely has an opinion on them.
Let's go with has no opinion on them.
All right, our second question comes from TGYR, who asks, and Kaz a question, what is the proper amount of work necessary per kiss? I want to be sure I'm not getting ripped off in these deals.
Well, I mean, you're the expert on that subject here.
I don't think that I'm an expert. Although it was directed at me, so it's kind of... It's a little grumpy of me to put that as a question, as a Skulls Ask question. I mean, I can first answer a different question than what was asked, which is, what deals? You mentioned deals.
Deals.
I don't think of it as a deal. I mean, it's kind of implicitly a deal. I mean, you exchange intimacy with another human being. But we rarely call it that. I mean, we're not so sardonic and so mercantile and mercenary a society that we think of that as a business exchange or a trade or a deal. Even though you can think of them that way, and you can... I mean, I know people... This is true. I know people who keep a ledger of all of their relationships.
That's disgusting, like, I think.
I know.
I'm actually not sure, but my guess is that I should be disgusted by that.
Like a whole ledger with, like, names and amount of favor owed in one direction or the other. And I'm just like, whoa,
yeah,
that's really, like, creepy for me.
So they're owed some sort of intimacy debt at some point?
Yeah. There's, like, debit and credit for
favors. I will invoke this human.
let's hope not, but anyway.
When was the last time I even inverted someone? Come on. Let me have a little fun.
I don't know. Probably the last time you showed someone that concave triangle.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to ask someone about my concave triangle today.
You definitely should. So, I want to, before I even answer the question, I want to take that kind of language out of it. We can't even talk about propriety or work. We can't even begin to answer the question unless we stop thinking about the exchange of intimacy the same way we would think of the exchange of goods for food, for instance. I mean, it's not commerce. I mean, unless it is, at which point I cannot answer that question. That is outside of the areas of my expertise, and you probably get what you pay for, so caveat optor. Have we successfully done that? Have we taken the language of the deal out of the deal?
Yes, we have chosen no deal.
All right, so then we can talk about propriety, which really is between you and the other person involved in the kiss. It helps to ask. I mean, you can't really establish a deal without both parties involved understanding the deal.
You're not supposed to say that word.
Okay. But yeah, don't steal kisses is I guess what I'm getting at. It's not actually charming. It's not daring or roguelike or intriguing.
No one ever told me that. I had to figure that one out.
It's uncomfortable and creepy.
Yeah, for both people, actually.
Yeah. It really is.
Never let me near another human being.
You have to be kind of perverse to be a thief, and you kind of have to be perverse to be a kiss thief. So it's really the same. And I speak as a thief in that. I class changed out of thief a long time ago, and that's part of the reason why. It's just it didn't, up to a point, it felt wrong. I do take that with me, though. I do like that I went through that, because now I have a really strong and thorough sense of what it feels like to steal something. And there's a lot of stuff that you can do in life that is not referred to as stealing that really feels like it. And I'm glad that I'm aware of that stuff, and I kind of am able to coach people on, it's like, wait, this feels wrong. This is wrong. This feels like stealing. That kind of thing. So don't steal kisses, right? And for another thing, you shouldn't have to do work. When does work come into it? Work necessary per kiss. It's not like I'm, you know, putting in my 8 hours a day and getting, like, princess kisses at the end. It's like, well, all right, here's your pay. Smooches.
Twisted, fucked up sense of nerd entitlement. You do enough favors, then she has to fuck you. Kill
yeah,
all men.
That, but I'm a man.
Yeah.
Hold on.
For now.
Hey, stop that. I'm not going to get angry at that generality, even if I am included in it. But, yeah. So, I'm not saying you should not have to do work in a relationship. I'm saying that the relationship is not one-to-one input to output, you know? We don't think of it any more like that than we do think of it like the exchange of one thing for another, you know? So, you should do work in relationships. You should get good stuff out of relationships. But you should not keep a ledger of these things. And you should not try to balance them with any kind of precision, I think. You should balance them, but not down to the penny, you know? There's a fine balance here.
The fact
here.
That, like, these acts have even been quantified by you speaks to some underlying misconception about your understanding of human nature. And I will invert you.
I don't know about that. I'll give you a kiss for free if you meet me at MAGFest. Why not?
Are you saying that to me or to the listeners?
To the TGYR.
Okay.
Who asked this question.
To specifically TGYR.
Yeah, so that's like zero work and free smooches. Why not?
Okay. Dang, I thought I was going to get a kiss. Okay.
No, you have to work harder for that.
Because I'm ugly.
That's not the reason.
It's
you didn't
a
ask
reason.
The question. All right. Now, as for... I'm trying to think of a sense of this question that I can honestly answer, because I try to answer these as honestly as I can, or if they are themselves just really beyond stupid, I try to answer them in the least honest way that I can.
Right. Blind cave salamander principle.
Absolutely. So I think the whole reason this came up was in reaction to one line that I said when we were playing the Zelda Four Swords, and where at the very end, you know, you're the Four Links, and you everything is blowing up, and you escort Zelda out of the crumbling tower or whatever, and you perform the ritual to seal away the evil wizard, and then she gives each one of you a smooch, sort of. I mean, they're just little sprites on a screen. Who knows what's really happening there? It's not like this is not Gone with the Wind romance, you know, on screen kissing or anything. But it's just still like two sprites going in proximity to one another. And I said, that is way too much work for just one kiss. Which I felt like at the time, because we had just done all of this stuff through like 8 different worlds, right?
We went through worlds.
I went through worlds and brought her out of a crystal, right?
Crystals. We brought a bunch of people out of crystals.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm saying that they should have chipped in.
With smooches?
Or something. It doesn't have to be a kiss. It has to be like, gee, thanks.
Like an apple
you know?
Pie or something.
You know, a pie. Like whatever they're good at. Even the, like a pat on the shoulder would be nice.
Some kind of recognition.
Because we definitely did, you know, we were doing the right thing. And we didn't ask for reward. We were doing it out of a sense of, if you know, us as Lynx. We're doing it out of a sense of, like, justice and duty. That kind of thing.
Right, but...
So we didn't go into this, like, kiss-seeking.
The language of, you know, that was a lot of work just for a kiss, carries with it the implication of an expectation of a reward. If you didn't expect any reward, then any reward is great.
That's not necessarily the case.
Any, like, decent reward. Like, any, like, non, like... Any genuine reward is great.
There, yeah, okay.
Any reward that is, in fact, a reward...
Yeah, okay, that's more like it. Because there are lots of times where I have received ingenuine rewards, and I've been kind of pissed.
Yeah. It was that one time I was, like, stuck in that pit for, like, 3 days. Because that was my reward, was this nice pit. And it was a pretty nice pit, but I was also stuck in it.
I have warned you about holes. That's very serious.
We're stuck.
So, to be fair, TGYR didn't actually intend this to be a Skulls-asked question. I just took it as one.
Oh.
With thanks.
Thank you.
And yeah, it's a terrible question, and it's not the kind of thing you should ask, and it's kind of wrong in phrasing. And
you are wrong for asking it, and we are equally wrong for answering it.
Bingo. So there you have it.
Now that we've piled on the moral sins, let's get to tonight's topic.
I wasn't going to go all that far away from sin.
Well, are we going to still be piling them?
We can make piles.
Okay. Are they still, like, this same type of sin?
No, let me tell you about sins. And it's more, and expectations. You know, we can work that in as a theme. I went to a shopping store. What is it? A grocery store across
yes.
the street. A shopping store.
Very good.
One of those stores that you go to shop.
5 points to Gryffindor.
Whatever. Yeah, a new grocery store opened up across the street. Right? This one had rules. And it had rules that I didn't really understand and aren't, like, written anywhere. But they're real. Okay? I should have known this. Because before I even went in, all of the shopping carts were chained together and you had to like insert a quarter into the little lock, and that like removes the cart, and then when you return the cart and hook the chain up, you can take your quarter back out. Okay, so there's like a quarter deposit for the use of their shopping carts.
Shopping carts.
That should have been a really clear warning to me about what kind of place this was. Also, everything was this bizarre European off-brand something. Like, it took me forever to figure. I had to do a triple take before I realized that the box I was looking at was not actually Cheerios, but it was fake Cheerios. And I'm like, wait, what? And
Knockoff
then I actually focused on it and read it, and I'm like, that's not right. That's, wow, that's very sneaky. So there's a lot of very sneaky graphic design work going on, a lot of like intentional rip-off kind of design. So
Clever CSS tricks.
that's indeed, indeed. And that's the whole store. It's also quite small. Everything is on like pallets and not really removed from the cases it came in, but they'll like rip the top of the case off so that you can grab the thing inside, that kind of thing. So this is I mean, that they're clearly trying to cut their costs, and that's their business model or whatever, and I don't fault them for that. And that's not what I mean when I'm talking about rules or sins, but when I got to the checkout, the cashier had like a shopping cart behind the register and everything, and put all my stuff in that, even though I had a bag. So I mean, not bagging it for me, fine, whatever. But at least give me the opportunity to bag it myself. Don't just throw it in this cart. And then when I tried to take the cart away, she's like, "No, that's mine." And I'm like, "Why did you even do this?"
It's the
So there's.
temporary payment reservoir cart.
It's just so toxically bizarre, every little thing about this place.
Sounds very
I did get.
advanced.
It's quite advanced. I did get coffee there, and I'll probably go back there for, like, just milk and bread. The kind of stuff that it doesn't matter if it's generic, you know? It's like, okay, off-brand milk. Like, who even has a brand of milk that they like? Unless it's the special milk that you can digest or something.
Yeah, usually it's
Like,
like you
those.
get the local milk.
Yeah, those have brands, but. Milk, eggs, who cares, right? And that's good because I don't really have one of those nearby. It's just so weird that they have all these secret rules to the place. I want.
They pass the savings on to you.
Yeah. The other actual mistake of this place, like the rest of those rules, it's just a mistake not to publish them, and I feel like they've got me with a gotcha, thanks to all this like stuff that I don't know and couldn't find out. But the one honest mistake that they made is the cashiers all have chairs. This is a really sinister mistake, because it seems like, when I worked as a cashier, I really would have liked a chair every now and again, because I was standing for like
Right.
7, 8 hours at a
Yeah.
stretch. But the real mistake there was that I wasn't taking my breaks at the right time. And it is really necessary to be standing up when you're doing cashier work so that you can reach things. You have a much greater reach when you're
Using
standing
your
than when
long human
you're sitting.
arms.
Yeah, and you can like bend at the waist to go get
Yeah.
things, which you cannot do as well when you're seated. And I thought that this might be just a quirk of the cashier, but no, she has all her working limbs, and even demonstrated standing up and walking around to me. So I'm like, okay, you're capable. And moreover, there was a chair at each register, even the ones that were not staffed at that time. So it is a design of the place and not a quirk of the person. So I thought that was a mistake. They'll probably draw down from that, but it might take years. So
Centuries, even.
it's probably beyond my care. maybe after centuries of time, the chairs themselves will have worn to dust. These are not robust chairs. These are not chairs to endure the millennia of wear and tear. You know, funnily enough, there is another place that's right next to it that also recently opened up. You and I dined at.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Chinese food place. Right? That was a sin, too.
It was, yeah. Pretty much. I got,
now, don't
like,
get me
real
wrong.
Bad l'esprit d'escalier when I got home, though.
Wow, you said some words that I didn't understand there.
Well, that's because I can't actually speak French.
Was that a medical condition?
No, what I was attempting to say in my broken, Americanized, stolen French is, staircase words. Treppwärter. When you think of the right comeback, like, way after you left.
Oh. I didn't... Oh. I'm still a little lost, mate. You're gonna have to help me out. It is I who am in a hole.
Okay. Like, when I got home, it's like, whoa, you know, when that guy said that thing, I totally should have just, like, stood up and said this other thing. That would have been perfect.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
You think of the really good comeback, but it's, like, an hour later.
Ah, no, I gotcha. Well, you know, I hadn't gotten to that point of the story yet,
yeah.
So I wasn't ready for that.
Okay.
So what happens is I ordered a bowl.
Yeah. Clay pot.
Because I ordered a clay pot dish because I really wanted to try one of those because, you know, I saw an episode of Anthony Bourdain where he's in Hong Kong and he gets one and he's like, oh yeah, you get the crispy rice at the bottom and it's really nice. And it's this really just folksy, common food over there, but it's impossible to find over here because, you know, who would have all these clay pots lying around to be able to do that stuff? And so I just really wanted to try it, and it's like, oh, cool, neat. I ordered it, and for one, they warned me that it would take a long time to cook, which is weird because aren't you making these? Why would it take so long? Whatever. Do you not have rice right now? Are you threshing the rice?
It's growing.
Whatever.
Give it some time.
And you know, but my dish order, but my dish arrived before the rest of your guys, which was weird. But whatever. So the guy walks up and says something completely unintelligible, and I figure out that he's talking about my food. And so I'm like, yeah, that's me. And then he says the kaizo is hot, and starts to hand it to me. So I'm like, okay, and I, like, reach for it to, you know, go the rest of the way because it would be kind of a reach for him to put it down in front of me, and he withdraws it. He gives me the, like, 1992 era psych for pulling it back, and I'm like, what happened? What? What is even going on? I'm really baffled and confused at that point. And then he says, do you speak English? The kaizo is hot. Like, okay. And then he sets it down in front of me and, like, and then walks off. And I'm like, what? What even happened? As it turns out, whatever the kaizo was, it wasn't all that damn hot, and I could touch the plate.
No, nothing you received was that hot.
Yeah, I touched the plate and it wasn't even warm.
He's an asshole,
like,
who wants
to
fuck with you.
Yeah, that's really it. But it was really baffling, especially because he said kaizo.
Yeah,
which I actually
just heard mumbling. I couldn't make any sense of the words.
You were closer to him than I was.
I just heard, no. Do you speak English? And it's like, I do. What the hell was that?
Yeah, this guy is gonna, like, yell at me for not speaking English. You know what I really should learn is, like, a good put down in Cantonese, and I'll whip that out on him. Like, yeah, go to hell, or whatever they say in Canton.
Oh, what I'm saying. I just tell people to, like, fall into a well if I just don't want to deal with them.
Hmm. That's a pretty good one. I mean, the story is probably going to stick with me for a long time because I still don't know what the Kaizo is.
No, the Kaizo is this mysterious object that is extremely hot, and it's really fortunate that it wasn't anywhere near you because you would have burned your hands, like, instantly. Destruction. Chaos. Sadness.
Which leaves the question open as to why he would withdraw from handing me my damn food.
He's a fucker lord.
Yeah. I mean, some people are just jerks. What can you do?
Give bad tips?
You can make fun of them on the internet.
Yeah,
we can
totally be, like, passive-aggressive about that right now. And, like, do that.
But I see this as more, like, sharing stories between friends. And
I guess.
And I also don't think that the offense is all that bad.
I was mad as fuck.
I think it's more funny. Like,
you don't fuck with my friends like that.
This is just our attitude about video games as well, isn't it? It's like things that, to me, in a game are frustrating, just sort of make me chuckle at how bad they are, or make me just sad, and I'm like, oh, that didn't work out. Whereas you get really angry.
I get legitimately hate mad. I am full of hatred and mad.
Is that how kids talk nowadays? They've been touching the Kaizo, I'll bet. They'll burn their fingers off.
Well, that's how the native English speakers talk, yeah.
Mm.
None of these bad habits are picked up by the kids who are just learning English.
It was also really loud in that place. They had done nothing to deaden
the
noise.
It was loud, the service was bad, the food was marginal.
You didn't like your food?
No,
I
not
liked
really.
My food. Any place that will serve me duck is a good place, and I really like duck, and this duck was well-cooked, and it had this, like, kiss of rosemary that they had worked just exactly hard enough to earn.
Can we find a different place that has duck that you like?
Probably.
Okay, let's never go to that place again.
We probably can't find another one that is across the street from me.
It's true, it won't be as close, but there's a 100 degree.
There is 100 degrees C. All Chinese food stores have the best names, by the way. I have never seen one that had a terrible name. Often they're called things like China Star or China Walk or have China in the name. I saw one once that was just called Chinese Food.
Facts.
Like, straight up. That was the name of the store. Well, I'm like,
You want to know a secret I learned about China Star from a friend of mine? Who actually, like, has studied Chinese, is because they have the Chinese writing also on their little storefront or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of them have that.
And China Star's actual name is 1,000 Lucky Rivers.
What?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they call it that?
Because Americans would get confused. What kind of food do you get at 1,000 Lucky Rivers? You know, what am I getting myself into here?
If you look at the damn place, you'd probably
know. Instantly determine the nature of the cuisine within.
Yeah, this is not a big mystery. Although that is, that's kind of neat. That makes me question my past self. What characters were there that I did not recognize that applied to the store called Chinese Food?
Mm.
There's another one I saw called Double Dragon.
Yo, let's go there.
Okay, come back and visit my parents with me.
Okay.
We'll go to Double Dragon. Yeah, we'll take a trip.
I'm not allowed to leave the county, actually.
Well, it is outside the county.
Dang,
I'm afraid. So there is that. Man, what other great Chinese food store names have you found? Are there any...
House of Dynasty is pretty good.
That does sound pretty good.
Yeah.
House of Dynasty, is that that's what it's called? Okay, are there any such venues nearby wherever Magfest is? Maybe
I don't. I don't think there's a Chinese place up there actually, because it's like when you're at the hobo or whatever, you're sort of like at the hobo, and it has its own little world.
Right.
There.
So it's only gonna have like gentrified LL Bean versions of whatever.
Kinda. There's a Nando's there, which I guess is reasonably.
That qualifies for my definition of gentrified.
Yeah. And there's a Thai place there, but it's like kind of a nice Thai place.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I went there.
I mean, often you go to one of those and it's like this family who had just made it. And...
No, everything at the hobo is kind of rubs fingers indicating a presence of wealth. I don't know the word for that. I would just do that in conversation, but none of you can see that.
All right. Well, fine.
Magfest.
Likely not going to be a.
To any listeners who will be attending Magfest, there will be a Yoshi's Cookie tournament Friday 1 p.m. Be there.
Where is there? I mean, I presume that Magfest is kind of a large.
Oh,
venue.
Game room.
Like you can't. Okay. It's also, if I'm not mistaken, hell bent on being about games, so there's only one game room, but.
It is a single, very large game room.
Good lord. All right. We're going to need a sign. And then we'll make the sign for the Yoko.
No, I mean, since it's an official tournament, there'll be like... And there's probably like a tournament information desk and stuff.
So you're going to be on the program?
Yeah, I'm an official tournament.
Good lord. I feel like we've stolen something.
I'm the Friday 1 p.m. tournament, Kaz. Yoko.
I'm going to have to help. Oh, help.
Like this video to support esports.
I am going to tell people that in life.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even know.
I will too.
I will. I'm definitely going to do
yeah.
that.
So, come by and support esports. I'd really appreciate it.
In person. I guess this is are we going to have anything special for the cast for that? I mean, we're bound to...
I don't know what we'll be
now,
able to
Now, I know
cast
that at least here. One listener is going to be there.
Yes.
So we'll be able to meet one listener at the very least. But
please come by
and
support esports, one listener.
Like, we should have, like, a magic card that we sign or something.
Yeah, I'll sign you a Plaxcaster Froglings.
I'll give out signed Slitherheads.
Yes! Okay, let's get a bunch of those, yeah.
Yeah. I thought about the other day building some of my decks online. Like
just making
because apparently there are like
your decks.
Of my EDH decks in particular.
Yeah.
Because I can find more consistent pickup games of that.
That's true.
Online that I
although then you're
later.
Playing with people who play EDH on Moto.
That would be all right.
I mean,
what?
If you like watching people combo off, sure.
But I would understand that going in.
Okay.
So it's not like I'm surprised by it. And it's not all that bad. There are still people who have their pet decks and all that. And besides, I know how to break apart combos, and I'm not a total scrub lord when it comes to that. And I will have my own Doomsday devices.
Yeah.
Probably including the actual card Doomsday.
Oh, man. That'll be good. People won't know. People won't understand what's going on. The first few times you Doomsdayed me,
like,
I was a little confused.
Welcome to Torrid Kissing Theater.
I'm like, wait. I do what with my library? How
what
many cards
do
I have left?
What do you mean we all discard our hands? Wait, what? What? What's happening? And that honestly, that might even be the better part about that deck, playing just random pickup games online with people, is that I'll be more likely to run into people who have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, they won't understand your angle.
And then they'll be like, what? He resolved Hive Mind? Why the hell would you do that? Whatever. And then, you know, that's like halfway to victory right there, is like having a bunch of people who have no clue what I am
I mean, that's how I won all of my EDH games, was people not understanding that I was putting together a giant, unsolvable 8-piece combo.
Right, but for you, I don't think we should make yours online. Because there were a lot of cases where your victory involved these incredible loops. And that's clicks that you would have to get.
Yeah,
through.
That requires actual clicking. I don't want to play a deck that has loops. Maybe I'll make Olivia. No, I should make that in paper because you gave me so much for that.
Well, you could give it back.
I could. I do still have
it. Make it online. Yeah, it's not gone away. I need to give you your trolls back too, because I ended up not using them.
Mm.
So you can probably get some money for that. Shoot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Playing EDH online. Oh, there was something I wanted to test. We have to test this.
Okay. Are we testing it now?
Specifically with... Well, no. I mean, in Magic Online.
Okay.
Because I don't know how it handles these rules in particular. I know how we would handle these rules in real life and in a tournament setting. So I understand the rules for casual tabletop Magic. I understand the rules for tournament and at all rules enforcement levels, tournament Magic. But I don't know how this would happen in EDH online. Specifically with the card... What's it called? Spawnsire of Ulamog. Spawnsire is one of my many Doomsday devices in the deck.
Yeah.
The idea is... Oh, geez. He's something like a 10 mana, 7/11 Annihilator 1.
Yeah. Like for an Eldrazi, like he's not that big.
And then he has two activated abilities. One that says 4, put 2 Eldrazi spawn onto the battlefield. And for 20, you may cast any number of Eldrazi cards you own from outside the game without paying their mana cost.
Yeah.
Right. So, in casual, I just get to keep a box of Eldrazi cards with me, and I could say, oh, I activated this, brump, and then I, like, pile up my 200 or so Ulamog's Crushers, and then I cast them. Here they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
New crush.
And I... I mean, unless someone casts Echoing Truth, and then I have all of them in my hand. For instance, but hey, there are ways. But yeah, it's an impressive thing, and one of my Doomsday devices. But I want to know, if I do this online, will it let me go into my collection and cast things, or is there like? Because I know there's not a designated sideboard for these, because for the construction of the EDH decks, you have 99 cards, and your general is in the sideboard.
Yeah,
like the technical sideboard area for the deck, and that's how you have to structure them, so you can't have other stuff in your sideboard, which is what counts as outside of the game in tournament Magic. But in casual Magic, it's just whatever you own that you're not playing with right now that you have with you. In some circles, you can just make it up. You could say, I've written the word Ulamog the Infinite Gyre on this sheet of paper, so I cast that, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on who you're playing with, that's acceptable. But I want to see how that works in Magic Online before I build this deck, even. So I wonder if... Because it shouldn't be... That's like... Who knows who the... This card cannot possibly be that pricey. It'll probably be less than a ticket, being a rare from a big set that is not like sought after in any format. So it'll be cheap. And all we really need from there is a setting where we can test it. Can you do like goldfish games in Magic Online? Just play with yourself?
I don't know, but like I could put together simply a legal deck.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, we really need a complicit opponent
If we just, want to see if how the rule functions, then, you know, I'm the complicit opponent.
Okay, then that's what we'll do. Yeah. We'll have to set that up sometime. Both be playing Magic Online at the same time.
Disgusting.
Man, that's never happened before. It might have happened before.
Maybe.
There was a time when I was drafting Shadow War online. Yeah. Okay, so we'll go over to our old friend the Vowbot and see if we can find a Spawn Sire of Ulamog.
Yeah, test it.
And just put a bunch of overgrown battlements in a deck and see if we can cast the dude. Oh, and then have it like at least one Ulamog's Crusher in the in your collection or something.
Yeah.
But not in the deck. Yeah. Then I will win an EDH game in Magic Online with Battle of Wits. And no one will have any idea
That's
what is
so
going
confusing,
on.
So confusing, but also real.
It's just so contrary. I have to do this. Welcome to Torrid Kissing Theater.
Alright. What were we going to talk about on the Skulls cast today?
We've already done
we
it.
We did that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, unless you had something to talk about.
Nah, I'm all out of ideas.
Well, there's one more thing.
Okay.
There is, and that you can talk about. Because I think I've been bogarting this conversation so far. Because it's like, well, I went to a store. Well, the guy asked me, told me the Kaizo was hot.
Kaizo was hot!
Which I'm still baffled by the way.
I'll destroy him.
But yeah, no, I wanted to ask you about the Archon build for your wizard in Diablo 3 that we...
Here's the abridged version, because we don't have much time.
Hmm.
You get the skill called Archon for your wizard that turns you into a being of pure energy for 15 seconds. Every time you kill an enemy in Archon form, you get an extra second worth of Archon form. The ability is on a 2-minute cooldown. While you're in Archon form, you have different abilities. You have a close-range, small area attack that knocks things away. You have a decently long-range and pretty wide laser beam. Both of these attacks are completely free and can just be done repeatedly. And then you have a larger AoE that does heavy damage but has no knockback that's on a small cooldown. So the plan with Archon is to have a bunch of your other active skills be essentially self-buffs, like Magic Weapon, and Familiar, and...
Yeah, because you can do, like, Magic Weapon, Familiar, Armor.
Yeah.
And then just have all those running all the
time.
Right,
so you have those three running all the time. You have some kind of attack. I chose Death Ray, or whatever it's actually called.
I think it's called Disintegrate.
Yeah, Disintegrate. And Teleport, and then you have, you know, Turn into Waluigi is one of your buttons. Right, because you turn purple, and everything you attack with is purple, and you're very purple, and you just sort of float everywhere, and you're this glowing purple, semi-translucent thing with, like, stars and stuff, because you're the Waluigi wizard, and you shoot your Waluigi hate beam. And if you do this well... And you know, you sort of get a feel for when to activate it, so that you activate it, immediately murder like 10 guys just to add to your timer, and just start cruising around the area, just destroying everything, because you do a ton of damage in Archon mode, and you also are a lot tougher in Archon mode. All of your armor and resistances all jump up dramatically when you're in Archon. And so you... Like, the other thing you combo this, you know, again, Critical Mass is helpful for just reducing the cooldown on Archon, but even sometimes with a pretty minimal amount of that, you know, with good Archon play, you can just be in Archon form for about 2 minutes, just off of killing guys, and it's a great feeling. And so it really simple, because your attack options are so simplified and streamlined, you're free to think about positioning and timing and dodging and have those, like, really be occupying you playing the game you know, cycles in your brain, because your attack is you have a beam. You fire a beam from your hands, and it deals damage, and that's how you do things. And you know, when all you have is a beam, everything starts to look like, I don't know, what does a beam destroy? Everything. Everything starts to look like exactly what it still is, because a beam is good against that. And so the you're still getting more crits is still nice for critical mass. Everything you do is arcane, so the arcane passive is also a reasonably good choice, because it means just you're by default snaring everything, which is a good way to just hit it with more lasers. And you know, pump int, get damage, pump move speed, so you can, because you know you're dodging a lot, because you do have to plant your feet to attack. Your storm armor is this like sort of double reverse Hydra in a weird sort of way, because it just hits things that are near you, so you never have to like keep putting it down if you move away. And it also gives you a valuable rune that reduces all of your AP costs, which is good for keeping Disintegrate cheap. Because that's the other thing. Because Disintegrate is your only attack when you're not an Archon, you know, piling on AP reductions for Disintegrate is a really good plan, so that you're allowed to just sort of hold the button down for a while, and it's like, oh, I'm out of AP. Wait for it to recharge enough to enter Archon form. Enter Archon form, none of my stuff costs AP anymore, and I'm still just shooting a beam. Beam. Waluigi. You're really purple in this mode, and I like that. Overall, I suggest it. It's pretty fun. It's very straightforward. Without, I guess, being brain dead. You're still very much playing the game of Diablo 3. You just have very simplified ways to attack.
Yeah, and you don't need to be rich to build this either.
This is cheaper than Wicked Wind spec.
Yeah. It can benefit from whatever like amount of Diablo gold that you have. Yeah. But you don't have to have millions in order to begin playing this way.
Like, I went in with like reasonably good gear. I think together we threw about 1 million gold down when I was shopping.
Oh, if that.
Yeah. And
I mean, I earned it back pretty quick. Yeah, I scarcely spent more than 200,000. I think. Yeah.
No, I think I threw down, like, half a mil on some thing.
Okay, well, that might have been for the weapon, because you want to...
Yeah,
you want a, really
a weapon that does, like, something, like, fear on hit is great, because you're getting a lot of hits off.
We got you an Echoing Fury,
yes,
didn't we?
Yes, because you're hitting a lot of targets at once with both of your attacks. So, and Disintegrate has a pretty good proc coefficient on it. For something that can hit so many enemies, especially when you choose the Chaos Nexus rune for it. And just, you know, when things are feared, they're moving away and they're not trying to attack you, and this is very good news. You know, that is free time. So it's this very simple and straightforward, but it still has a lot of room for player skill in executing. And it's pretty cheap to buy good appropriate gear for. And so I recommend it if you've got a wizard and you're, you know, trying things out, or maybe if you don't have a wizard because you didn't know, like, you know, what do I want to do with him? It's like, well, maybe be Waluigi.
Get this wizard, and in your offhand, hold that skull.
Skulls.